In times like these, it's hard to hold steady, isn't it? There's concerns that we're worried about, fears even, but you can hold steady. Holding steady is indeed the topic today of Dr. Don Wilton's message here on The Encouraging Word. We feature Dr. Wilton's messages as we dive into the Word and understand how it can make a difference in how we see today and how we live our lives. As we're studying the Word together, know that we're available for you. We'd love to pray with you and for you and maybe connect you with great resources at the other end of 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at teonline.org. It's also a great place to sign up for the daily email from Dr. Don. That's online at teonline.org. Now today's message, Holding Steady, with Dr. Don Wilton on The Encouraging Word.
People want to be accepted. You want to do well. There's nothing wrong with the need to make money, to be able to provide for your family. These are not criminal activities. It's not a criminal activity to go to that college or to go to school on Monday and Tuesday and want to be accepted, be popular, be part of the crowd. Nobody wants to sit by themselves at the table. Nobody wants to be mocked. Nobody wants others to point fingers. Nobody wants to be left out. You're not being criminal because of that. So here's the issue that we've got to really try and understand. How do we stay strong in a world in which winds are blowing from every quarter? The question is this: how do we hold steady? What is God saying to us? And more particularly, what is God saying to you? Are you battling right now? Are you battling to live for Christ? It's one thing on a day like this, but it's another thing on a day like that. Who are you really after the ball game? If your story was written based upon where you were and what you did yesterday, what would people really say about you? Who did you actually end up looking like? Was there any difference? Were you able to hold steady? And it's jolly hard to do that. I particularly pray for our young people. It is a very extremely difficult thing to live for Christ out on that campus. And what does living for Christ on that campus mean? Does that mean to say we isolate ourselves, that we put on a different garb, or that we walk around pointing fingers at people? What does this look like? I want to read to you from Philippians chapter 1 and beginning at verse 12. This is what Paul said. I want you to know something, fellow believers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel, so that it has become known throughout the entire imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are as a result of that more bold to speak the truth of the word without fear. Now, some indeed preach Christ from envy, and some from rivalry. They try to outdo each other so they can get more people to come to church, their church. But others do it out of their heart, the goodwill of their heart. The latter do it out of love, knowing that I am put here in this prison for the defense of the gospel. The former proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but thinking to afflict me in any way in my imprisonment. So what shall we say then? One text puts it like this: so then, whatever it is, I want you to know that only and in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is proclaimed. And it's in that fact that I rejoice. Now, I want you to just consider who was saying this. I was thinking about Paul, and I was thinking about you and me, and I said to myself, just think about this. This is a man, number one, who had a really bad past. I mean, Paul had a really bad past. We know that he was a blasphemer. He was a man who persecuted the church. He was out there doing everything he could to destroy the word of God. He was a great sinner against God. He had a really bad past. But we also know that he was a man who encountered a really loving God. I love this story about Paul. I mean, he was a sinner like all of us, condemned to die, and then he ran headlong into the Lord Jesus. The Bible tells us that on the road to Damascus, Jesus revealed himself to him. Paul just went headlong into this loving God. I'm most certainly not Paul, but I tell you, I identify with this. Excepting I didn't have a really bad past, but I too was a sinner. And I'm going to tell you too that I really battled in my early life. I battled like crazy. I grew up in Africa, boarding school and all the adventures and all the things. And I had this caught betwixt and between because my parents were these wonderful Christians. When I was about six, in fact, my dad even became pastor and preacher. And my mom and dad were, I mean, they just lived for the Lord Jesus Christ. But not me. I spent many, many years of my life really trying to figure this out, trying to find meaning and purpose. And then I ran headlong and encountered the living Lord Jesus. I gave my life to Christ, found out that He loved me. And some of you are there today. That's exactly where you are. You're looking for meaning and purpose. The Bible tells us that God loves us and He loves you. And He'll change your life and He'll do for you what you cannot do for yourself. So yes, Paul had a really bad past and he encountered a really loving God. But number three, he served with a really devoted heart. So nobody here could stand up and say that Paul didn't serve the Lord with all of his heart. You know, I look around here today and I know of and I see so many people who serve the Lord with such devotion. And the fourth thing we know about him, which is the irony of all of it, is that he suffered in a really major way. Now, I want you to just get a hold of this. Here's this man who didn't know Christ, came to know Christ. Because he came to know Christ and Christ filled his heart, he served him with such devotion. And thank you very much, he ended up being put in prison for it. That's a nice how do you do. That's reality. If we were to define the winds that blew against the Apostle Paul, they came from every which way but loose. They blew across his pathway. And in his case, everywhere that Paul went in his world, he was confronted by the winds of change. And the winds that demanded that he conform, and the winds that said to him, stop talking, and the winds that said he was wrong, they were after him all the time. And in this juncture, it became so severe that in his case, he was even thrown into prison. He suffered in a really major way. I look at our world today, and I see all of us. We, in America today, we haven't reached the point of that suffering just yet, but I think it's coming. I think it's possible on our current track. I don't know because I'm not there, but 10, 20 years from now, I sometimes wonder what it's really going to be like to be a Christian in America. And I wonder what you and I are going to look like. And I'm asking myself, what is the church going to look like? And how are we going to operate And what are we going to say to our world? And who are we going to be for our sons and our daughters? And what is the legacy that we leave behind? Are those who come behind us, are they going to find us faithful? Or does it really matter? Paul was a person just like you and me. I think if we were to really know the truth, I think Paul wanted to live. I think Paul wanted to be accepted. I think Paul wanted to conform. I think Paul wanted to be liked by everyone. I think Paul wanted to have enough pocket change. I think he wanted to be able to go to the restaurant and buy his own meal. I think Paul wanted to drive at least a halfway decent motor car. I think Paul wanted to be able to take a vacation from time to time. I think Paul wanted to live in at least a decent neighborhood. I think Paul wanted to be loved by his family. I think Paul didn't want to walk down the road and be the scourge of society, but he stood strong. And I think this passage gives us some insight into what it means to hold steady, to stand strong, and in his case, in a radical sense.
Forgive the interruption. We'll be back with the rest of today's message, Holding Steady, with Dr. Don Wilton here on The Encouraging Word. But I pray that you would understand we are here to help you hold steady at any time of day or night. This is the broadcast. You may be listening online or streaming the podcast. You need to know 24/7 this number is available for you. 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673. It'll connect you with a great deal of resources, in particular, someone who would pray with you right now. That's 866-899-9673. Or meet us online at tewonline.org. You can hear today's broadcast again and other resources. That's tewonline.org. We'd love for that to be a part of your connectedness online with us at The Encouraging Word. And now let's dive back into Holding Steady with Dr. Don Wilton.
What did Paul want us to know? You know, it's interesting to me that in this passage, he begins by making a statement, and I love this statement, I want you to know. I love that. Don't you see that in verse 12? I want you to know, fellow believers, there's something you need to know. God wants you to know this. Are you listening? You need to know this. Listen up. I want you to know something. I think the reason Paul was saying, I want you to know, because God was instructing him to tell us something that would give to us the kind of roots that we need to stand strong and to hold steady, to really live out this Christian faith that we have, not just on Sunday, but Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, to live it out as a member of the ball team, to live it out when we receive that award, to live it out when we go downtown shopping, to live it out when we're driving our motor car and someone cuts in front of us, to live it out in every circumstance of our lives. I want to be a Christian man all the way. I don't want to be a crowd pleaser. I don't want to do something just in order to gain something. I don't want to be a chameleon. I don't want to change my color depending upon where I stand or who's in my company. I don't want to be one person for this group and another for that. I don't want to accommodate the world. I am a Christian man. I want my life to count. I want it to be meaningful. I want to be strong. I want to know how to hold steady in this world. So what was it that Paul wanted us to know? Number one, that he knew the cause of his imprisonment. He knew the cause. He knew why he was there. I think that's so profound. So right now, I'm just going to ask you to answer that question. Do you understand and know why you are where you are right now? Ask God to help you. I don't think Paul had any qualms about the fact as to the cause of his imprisonment. He loved the Lord. One of the most precious things that I think was said to me was a young lady in our church who spoke to me, a beautiful girl. Gosh, just a beautiful girl in our church. And one day we are just walking down, going to the Genesis service or coming back, and we paused. I said, "How are you?" And she said, I'm doing fine. She said, "But I'm really struggling." I said, What's the problem? She said, "I don't think anybody wants to invite me to the prom." I said, "Well, why would they not want to do that? I need to go and talk to some of these boys. They got a hole in their head." You know that young lady looked at me and she said to me, "Dr. Wilton, I think it's just because I'm a Christian." She told me just like that. She said, "I think it's just because I'm a Christian." In other words, what she said to me is, "Listen, at this point, I haven't been invited to the prom, and I know the cause. By the way, can I give you the end of that story?" She went to the prom. Now, it cost me $500 to get that fella to... Listen, if you're listening, sweetheart, I did not pay him a dime. I'm just telling you right now. She was invited to go, and she no doubt had a wonderful time. What did Paul want us to know? Number one, that he knew the cause. Number two, that he knew the reason why he was imprisoned. Now look there at verse 12. He said, "What has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel." Now we're talking about standing steady, holding steady. He knew the cause and he knew the reason. "I'm in prison because I love the Lord. My imprisonment is serving to advance the gospel." Knew the reason. Number three, he knew the impact. Reason is one thing, it advances the gospel. Impact is the definitive definition of what it exactly does. Well, look what he tells us in verse 13. "It's become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest." In other words, what is happening to me because I am standing strong in the middle of this howling gale, there's just a lot of people that are being impacted for Christ. Do you know, now just get this for a minute. Do you know that I actually believe that in today's world, with everything that's going on, there are more people than you and I can possibly imagine that are really looking for people who really know what they believe. I really believe that. I love being around young people and older folks, middle-aged people who, you know, they can get down with the best of them, have the most fun. You talk about it. I mean, you name it. There's one thing that you always know about them. That's a Christian man. I love life. Have you ever seen me in a boat fishing? I'll outfish any one of you who'll give me a chance. No, I'll just take all that back. Listen, man, I love to get out there and hit a golf ball if I get an opportunity to go and fish with friends, love to go out to a restaurant, love to go to ball games, man. I love all of that. Love to barbecue, burn some chicken in my backyard, love to be around. Why do I need to compromise my Christian faith? I don't know where somebody gets this thing that all of a sudden you got to go into this little eggshell about being a Christian. Somehow it means like you're not going to be able to do something. Christ has given to you and me life with a capital L. It's whole. It's meaningful. Listen, my Jesus gives me forgiveness, puts love in my heart, instructs me to go and serve my neighbor, roll up my sleeves and go to work, have compassion. My Jesus takes racism out of my eyes. He levels the playing field. He causes me and enables me to love all people equally. Man, if there's anything flag I'm going to fly, it's I'm a Christian man, because my Christianity serves everybody else in the absolute best possible way. My Christianity takes selfishness out of me. Because by nature, I'm selfish. It takes the I out of me and it puts everybody else and Christ in the place. Listen, being a Christian, why must I hide this? Am I God's secret service agent? This is the best life you can possibly imagine. It's a forgiven life. It's a whole life. It's a complete life. It's a begin a new life. It's a grace-filled life. He wanted us, he said, listen, I want you to know some things, brothers and sisters. He knew the cause. He knew the reason. He knew the impact. And he also knew the bottom line. What was the bottom line? It's right there in verse 18. The bottom line was to proclaim Jesus Christ. That's the bottom line. It's a bottom line. It's to tell people about Jesus. Bottom line of this message today is to tell you about Jesus. The bottom line is to invite you to give your life to Christ because it's all about him. So I want to just put a bow around this and really personalize. That's Paul. What about me? How do we hold steady in our changing world? Just three things. How do you hold steady in your changing world? How do you go to work tomorrow and hold steady? How do you go back to college and hold steady? How do you play football and play it well and hold steady as a Christian person? How do you enjoy this life? How do you take hold of this life and hold steady? Three things. Number one, you need to know exactly where you are. We need to know where we are. Take inventory of where you are right now. Be honest. That's what Paul did. He knew the cause. He knew the reason. Paul didn't pretend that he wasn't in prison in his context. I want you, if I could ask you right now, if you are very serious about this, go home today, tomorrow, get out a piece of paper, have a little time of prayer with the Lord, and write down, be very honest about where you are right now. I'm a student. I'm in my second year at college. I've given my life to Christ. I know him. This is where I grew up, but this is where I am right now. And this is what my life looks right now. Lord, before you, I know that at these times, on these days, my life doesn't even resemble a Christian life. Or alternatively, you might write down, you know, I'm being eaten alive by loneliness because I feel like I'm being shut out because I'm a Christian. Be honest with it. Put it down there. Feel like I don't get asked out as much as anybody else does because I'm just, you know, they tell me I'm old-fashioned. I won't do this and I won't do that and I won't agree to this and I won't agree to that. Therefore, nobody wants me. Let me tell you something, folks. Loneliness is a very real thing, but the starting point on holding steady, like Paul said, I know the cause. I'm in prison. Is you need to know exactly where you are. Number two, know exactly why we are. Why? If, in fact, you know exactly where you are, you need to know exactly why you are where you are. Understand your roots. Just get on with it. Make a commitment today that you are going to put, Lord, this is what my life looks like right now, and this is why it looks like this. This is why you are going to very quickly identify the battlefield of your life. The greatest victories won by the greatest strategists in the military field, the greatest generals, are those who sit down and they analyze honestly exactly what it is they are facing. They look at the battle plan. They devise a strategy that comes out of the reality of what it is they are dealing with. That young lady, I just admire her, and I think about that often because here was a beautiful young girl who stopped, said, you know, this is what's happening and this is why. Get out of that pretense life of yours. Admit your failure. Admit your circumstance. Admit your struggle. How to hold steady in our changing world. Number one, know exactly where we are. Number two, know exactly why we are where we are. God has a purpose for you. And number three, know exactly whose we are. I'm going to give you these three things again. These are very important. These are deep. Number one, know exactly where you are. Take inventory of your life today. Number two, know exactly why you are where you are. Remember, God is working all things together for the good of those that love Him and to those who are the called according to His purpose. And number three, know exactly whose you are. Watch me, folks. You either is or you ain't. You never thought you'd get Southern out of me, did you? Know exactly whose you are.
Such truth in any language, whether it's the English language from our South African pastor, Dr. Don Wilton, now an American citizen, or whether it's the language of the South, whatever you might want to consider it. You either is or you ain't. The question is, are you a part of the body of Christ? Are you part of the family of God? We'd love to talk with you, answer some questions, pray with you at 866-899-WORD. That's 866-899-9673 or online at tewonline.org. Open your heart to what Dr. Wilton's going to say next.
God has spoken to you, hasn't He? And you ready to give your heart to Jesus? I'd love to help you right now. Would you pray this prayer with me and accept Jesus into your heart and life? Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that Jesus loves me and died for me on the cross. Right now, I repent of my sin and I confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ. Come into my heart and save me today and forgive me for my sin. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Let us pray you through the next steps. 866-899-WORD is our phone number for your connect with us online. TEWonline.org is our website. That's TEWonline.org. Also the great place you'll discover resources like When God Prayed.
What miracle are you personally praying for today? You may need the miracle of healing in your body, healing of a relationship, your finances, or to overcome an addiction. Perhaps you need a miracle for your son or daughter to return home. Whatever you need, whatever circumstance life has thrown your way today, be encouraged. God loves you. This month, for your gift of $25 or more to the Encouraging Word, Dr. Wilton would love to send you two inspiring ministry resources: Praying for a Miracle, a CD only message, and a When God Prayed book. Both of these resources will stir your soul and move your heart to a fresh realization of what God prayed for us and that He could be trusted in what we are believing Him for. A miracle. Call us at 866-899-9673. We would love to pray with you and send you these resources. The Encouraging Word is a viewer and listener supported ministry that trusts in God to supply our needs through people. Thank you for listening today.
It's been a great day of studying God's Word, and we'll do more of it at the same time tomorrow. As a matter of fact, Dr. Wilton's message is called Totally Fulfilled. We'll open God's Word again in Philippians, but that's tomorrow, same time. I hope you'll join us between now and then. Know we're available for you to pray, to talk, to listen, to connect with resources, both at 866-899-9673 and online at tewonline.org. Let's stay connected and encourage each other with God's encouraging Word.